All right, guys, I've got an iced coffee and a whole lot of audacity. So I'm going to sit down and attempt to record this, I don't know, update message slash thank you slash explanation. I'm not really sure. So, okay. Obviously, if you've been around a while, and even if you haven't, you may have noticed that I didn't post anything anywhere for at least 9 months. Some places I hadn't posted in like 10. Essentially, we can just like round it up to a year. I had a year-long semi-hiatus. So I moved from Ontario to Newfoundland in October 2022 with the intention of being closer to my family, essentially. I was born here and I was like, I lived in Newfoundland for the first 12 years of my life. But then the rest of the time I spent in Ontario. And like when my mom moved home in 2017, I really missed her. My sister moved home in like 2021, I want to say. And, you know, she brought my nephew with her. And so like, I don't know, it kind of felt like all my family members were gone from Ontario and I didn't really want to stay. And rent prices are insane in the area I was living in. So it was getting like prohibitively expensive. Like, it was not good. So I was like, cool, I'll just like move back to Newfoundland. It's going to be great. Like being near my family, everything's going to be awesome. And I didn't really think about the logistics. So if you're going to live in Newfoundland, you need to have a car, essentially. Otherwise, you really can't get anywhere. So what ended up happening was the area that we moved, there wasn't a lot of work there. And so my aunt, who lives with me and has lived with me for years now, couldn't find any work. So that was like if I look back, that's the beginning of the end, shall we say. Because I went from, you know, having an apartment to myself for entire days to my aunt is constantly home. And it's not like a secret what I do with like certain relevant members of my family. I don't hide it or anything. So she's aware, but it's like extremely awkward for me to make very spicy content when I know my aunt is like listening on the other side of the wall or is like wearing headphones and trying not to hear me. It's just, I could not get in a headspace where I wasn't uncomfortable making audios. And I never want to be uncomfortable making things because, like, that's not fun. So I was like, well, fuck. I mean, she's going to be home all the time, at least until she finds work. So, like, what the hell am I going to do? And that was, like, the first major issue. I found ways around it. I did post a little bit, very, very little. But I was also finding that around the same time that I moved home, I also was like really burned out. Because, I mean, if you've been around for like the early days, I'm pretty sure like it was like the summer of 2022 that I was like basically streaming on Twitch every day and I was making like insane amounts of posts. I was everywhere all at once. And I should have known better, but of course you never do because you think it's not going to happen to you. But I burned out pretty hard. And it wasn't even just like a creative burnout. It was like I failed to see the value in what I was doing anymore. Because it's really easy to just dismiss, you know, making erotic audios. It's like, oh, it's just porn. First of all, that's a whole separate conversation about how I feel about the, I don't know, minimization of consensual pornography and the perception of it in society. Like, we can have a separate conversation about that someday. But I was running into this thing where I just really felt like making audios wasn't adding anything to the world. And that's not the case. That's not true. That's not the point I'm trying to make, is that I was so burned out that I this thing that I had loved doing became like a chore and I couldn't find a good reason to keep doing it, is essentially what I'm saying. And that's really sad. Like, it's really sad to say that out loud because I'm actually and have always been extremely proud of everything I make. Otherwise, I wouldn't post it. And even more than being proud of the content, I'm proud of the community that we've built. Like across all of these little platforms, there are so many awesome people that I never would have gotten the chance to interact with or speak to or like learn their stories or any of it if I hadn't done this. So like it's not like I actually don't think it has any value. It's that I was so burned out that I couldn't see the value anymore. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So it was like a combination of stressors at that time. And my aunt was like the major one. I'm not interested in like bashing my family members or anything, but it was a difficult situation. She resented me because we had moved somewhere where she couldn't get around. I resented her because she resented me. It was like, if you spend enough time in a small confined space, as I'm sure we all remember from the pandemic days, it can make you crazy. Like, it can really drive you up the fucking wall. So I was really inconsistent, like, from the moment that I moved home, essentially. And I kept wanting to try to get back into it, but I couldn't. And I had also decided to go off antidepressants around the same time. There's always, you know, personal reasons to not want to be on a certain drug anymore, even if you need it. And there's nothing wrong with taking, you know, whatever it is you need to take in order to, you know, be safe and happy and healthy. I was just finding that the side effects that I was having were not worth the return. Like, were not worth the, I don't know, lessening of depressive thoughts. It just, I mean, like, it killed my libido, man. And I know that that can happen. And I know that, I mean, if it comes down to it, having a sex drive is not as important as, you know, being alive. But it's awfully hard to, like, get really into making sexual audios or even romantic audios when you're just, like, essentially my pussy's fucking dead. Like, it's awful. This is not what we want. So I wanted to go off the medication, but that was also challenging. There's physical side effects when you do that. There's emotional side effects. And I was trying to navigate this and, you know, having my aunt basically breathing down my neck all the time. Like, it was a whole mess when I first moved. And that was October. And then in January of 2023, my grandmother died. And my grandmother was, like, in her 80s. I think she was, like, 86, if I'm not mistaken. And it's, you know, it's always sad when you lose a grandparent. But in a way, you're kind of expecting it eventually the older they get, right? You kind of begin trying to prepare yourself. But I was not really prepared for how I would react. I had a lot of really complicated feelings for a lot of really complicated reasons. But it hit me harder than I expected. I thought that I would be fine, but I wasn't. And that was tough. And then, you know, you start coming back from that because, like, you know, I did post a little bit. If I'm remembering correctly, I started posting again in the summer of last year. But it just, I don't know, I was still burned out. I was still stressed. My aunt still wasn't working. She didn't start fully working until like September. She ended up getting a job and like things are so much calmer now. But there was a lot going on all at once. And I have a tendency, if I'm extremely stressed or if I feel like my life is out of my control, I go into like a full-fledged gaming addiction. So I will spend like 12 hours a day. I won't like eat. I won't sleep. I will just game because my brain is just too full of agony for me to focus on anything. And all I want to do is escape it. But like you can't actually escape your brain. You're stuck with it. So I kind of fell off again. And didn't really talk to anybody. And I was just not having a good time. And it started to get better. I was starting to move toward, you know, starting to write things again and wanting to get back into it. But then in August of 2023, I went with my mom to what I thought would be like a totally innocuous appointment with her doctor. I was just going for company. And my mom had been dealing with some health issues for a couple of years. Like, I want to say it started around COVID, but honestly, it might have actually been before that. So she had been doing all of these tests. They found like some nodules in her lungs, like she was getting out of breath. She was very weak. Like, there was a lot going on. And so I went with her to this appointment, and this is the one where we were told that they had found a lump in her breast, that she had breast cancer. And that was like, that was like the end. I know I can kind of go right to catastrophe when things like this happen. So like, I was thinking, oh my God, she's going to die. And like, just absolutely freaking out. Not really knowing like how to, I can't talk about things when they're happening because I'm too busy trying to keep my head above the water. Right. And I was really worried about my mom, and my mom was really worried about, you know, money and looking after her house. And it's, you know, it's all a blur, honestly, still. So she got her diagnosis in August. She started chemo. There's some injection that they give you, like, after the actual chemo treatment. And she hated that needle. I could not tell you what it was. But she absolutely hated it because it made her feel so sick. And, like, she was upbeat, like, super upbeat about it the entire time, right? Like, she was like, it's going to be cool, I'm going to ring the bell, and everything's going to be amazing. But she kept getting weaker. And so I was spending a lot of time with her, like, at her house, keeping her company, you know, helping clean, like, maybe make a meal or two, like, you know, stuff like that. So I tried to spend a lot of time with her and, you know, kind of like keep an eye on her too, because that's a tough thing to be going through. Like, when she was already stressed about her financial situation because she hadn't been able to work because of these unrelated medical issues. And now here she is and she's got cancer to deal with. Like, that's fucked. So everything started going wrong, like really, really wrong, I would say, in like November, somewhere around November. That's when it was almost like my mom checked out a little bit. And I couldn't tell you if it was a side effect of chemo or not, but like, she really started not doing well toward the end of November. And I went with her to another appointment in December, like early December. And she was like a completely different person. Now, I hadn't seen her in a couple of weeks because her partner, I usually refer to him as my stepdad, but like, they never technically married. Her partner got COVID. And so we were all avoiding him so that we wouldn't get it. So I didn't see my mom for at least 2 weeks. It might have been longer. And when I saw her again, like when I saw her at the appointment, it was shocking because she was like really, really weak. She could barely shuffle her way to the actual appointment. Like, it was really jarring to see such a rapid switch. And then I didn't end up seeing her again until December 19th. And that was shocking. Like, I mean, if I thought I was shocked before, I had no idea. So my sister and I, for a lot of different reasons, mostly my sister moving, we hadn't been around very much for most of December. And I mean, give me a little grace here because I know some of these timelines are messed up. I can barely keep track of a timeline, like, in the best of times. But when it comes to something that's, you know, so tied to something so emotional, it flies out the window. I'm not real great with keeping the timeline straight, but I do remember that it was December 19th. And my mom could not sit up on her own, and she couldn't like drink on her own. I had to like physically help her sit up and get a sip of water. And I was like, oh my God, like we're so out of our depth. I don't know how it got so bad so fast. Because when I last saw her, she was like shaky on her feet, but she was still able to move. And this was like, she was like bedbound. Like she could not even get to the bathroom herself. Like I had to help her get to the bathroom. And anyone who's, you know, cared for an aging parent, say, would know, like, it kind of like, I don't know, fucked with my head a little bit. Because I was like, it sounds so fucking selfish to say it out loud, but it's like, you know, she's my parent. She's supposed to take care of me. Like, I felt like I was a little kid again or something. But you know, I was helping as much as I could. And then, I don't know, I had had such a bad feeling, like, that whole day. And I ended up having to, you know, call an ambulance. And as it turned out, in the few weeks that I hadn't seen her, she was dealing with COVID. She had pneumonia in both of her lungs. There were blood clots in her lungs. And she had like a whole bunch of other, you know, stuff that I don't feel like is necessary to say. But she was very, 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 very sick. And so she went into the hospital. I think it was on the 19th. And the last time I saw her was on the 20th. So she was admitted to the ICU because she was having so much trouble breathing. And I visited her the next day, like when she had already been admitted. She was already in the ICU room. Everything was like rocking and rolling. And so my sister and I went to visit her. And she was like livelier than I had seen her in ages, but she was still like extremely sick. Like I fed her some yogurt and we just like, we talked, and I really, really thought that it was going to be the kind of situation where you help someone out, you get them the help they need, and then, you know, later you're like talking about it and they're like, oh my God, thank you. Like, I thought I would be a fucking hero. Like, what does that tell you about my ego? I just wanted to be helpful. And I remember my mom saying, like, thank you for calling the ambulance. Like, thank you for bringing me here because this is where I need to be. And I don't know. We left the hospital and I had told her I will be back every day until you're released. And then the next day when I woke up, I tested positive for COVID because I felt so fucking sick. So I just knew it. I was like, oh my God, they're telling me mom has COVID. And, you know, I've been in her face helping her drink and having her cough directly in my face like for a day or so. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it. And I did. So I actually was not able to go back to see my mom again, as promised. Although my sister did go and tell her that I had gotten COVID and that's why I wasn't there. So at least she knew. So the thing that you need to know is that my mother raised my sister and I herself. My dad died when I was 11. And it was just us three girls, you know, for my entire life. So, you know, my mom, although we definitely had issues, like as any person does, like with their parent, overall, like we were very close. And she was like absolutely my best friend. And so it was a big deal. It was a really big deal that she would be this sick And I was scared. But in some, I don't know, really stupid way, I thought that I would be protected from losing her because I had lost my dad. So I was like, there's no way that God or the universe or fate or whatever, you know, would take my second parent. Like, it's just not possible. Like, she's going to come through this and it's going to be amazing. Except she just kept getting worse. Like, her kidneys stopped working. And then they thought that she was in congestive heart failure. And her blood pressure was so low that they just kept pumping her full of drugs. She was on a ventilator. They ended up putting her in a coma. Like, it happened so quick. Like, she got so bad so quick. And I was trying to get all my updates, you know, from my bed because I was freaking dying of COVID. And wishing that I could just, you know, be there to visit her. And then on New Year's Eve, I got a call from my mom's partner, and he said that mom's doctor was on the phone and wanted to speak to me. And essentially what they did was say that it would be a good idea to go to the hospital and say goodbye, because they had done everything that they could even think to try. She was, like, maxed out on meds. They had her on dialysis, like... It was, like, really bad. So even though I still technically had COVID, they let me come to the hospital. And we had to, you know, make the decision of whether or not to keep life support going and just wait for essentially what was the inevitable at that point happen, or to, you know, turn off the machines, give her comforting drugs, and just be with her as she passed. And it's still, like, I don't know, like, thinking about it too much feels absolutely bizarre. It feels like I'm watching, like, a movie that happened to someone else. If you've ever had to make a decision like that for a loved one, to decide whether or not to, you know, let them linger, even if you're told there's no real hope, that's a really hard decision to make. But one of the nurses did say something that probably will stick with me forever, was that she said that my mom had already made the decision for us. We were just letting her go. Because even if she had made it through that, like, and gotten better from the pneumonia and all the other health issues, she still would have, had to come back and then deal with the cancer again? Like, it would have just been suffering on suffering on suffering. And I already knew that my mom never wanted to be, like, kept artificially alive, shall we say. So, we decided as a family that we didn't want that. So we let her go. And I have to say, of all my grand life experiences, watching my mother pass away was the absolute worst, most traumatizing thing I think I will ever go through. I hope I will ever go through in this lifetime. It was awful. Like, it was very peaceful. Everybody was lovely. We held her hand, you know, talked to her as she went. Like, it wasn't like, it was horrifying, but not in, like, a horror movie way. Like, it was emotionally horrifying, but I don't regret doing that. I don't think, even if there, by some miracle, she had come back, there were way too many things that had gone wrong. And I don't personally believe in letting somebody suffer like that. So, anyway, that's her death. Let me tell you about her life. My mom. This is always the part that makes me emotional. My mom was an absolute badass. Like, the kind of woman that you absolutely could not keep down. Does not matter. Anything that went wrong in her life, she just fucking dusted her knees off, got up, and kept moving. She always had a kind word and an easy smile for everyone. Like, she was one of those people I wish that I could be. Like, the kind of person who just walks into a room like she owns the place and makes everyone feel welcome and inviting, or invited. Like, the kind of person that I think we should all aspire to be. She had faults, so does everyone. But she was just so relentlessly kind and giving. Like, she would do for you even if you were a complete stranger. Like, far, far kinder. Like, if you think that I'm nice, my mom was much nicer. She was like... She had to face a lot of challenges her entire life. And they're like, I don't know, not really my story to tell. But I don't know who else is going to tell, you know? Who else is going to tell the stories? She can't tell her own stories anymore. But it's like, I don't know, it was the single worst thing that has happened in my life up to date. And I was very lost. I mean, I've been lost essentially since I moved home. I think we've established that. But this was worse. I don't know. I wasn't even sure that I could survive it. Like, to lose my grandmother and then my mother in the same year was like kind of a lot of stressors. And then, you know, things being rocky with my aunt, that's another stressor. Like, it's been a lot. And all the while, you know, I kept looking at Patreon and all the other platforms and being like, oh my God, I didn't know what to do. I was like paralyzed with what to do because I absolutely did not want to come back. Like, when I was in that headspace, I didn't think I could ever make an audio again. I certainly never wanted to comfort anyone again because I was like, I need comforting. But I don't know, I guess. I mean, it hasn't been very long. It's, what are we, coming up on the fourth month? And what would have been my mom's 57th birthday is coming on the 24th. Of this month, April. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I kept dreaming about my mom. Like, she would just show up. Either she wouldn't speak, but she'd be like sitting across from me at the table, or we'd be taking a walk, or so. She was just there, like present for the first couple of weeks after she died. And then I ended up having a dream. It wasn't all that long before I came back, so I guess it was like toward the end of March, where I had this dream where I was just sitting talking to my mom, and I knew that she was dead and shouldn't be there, and I knew that I was dreaming. So I decided to ask her if she had any messages she wanted me to bring back for anybody. And she was just like, no. Said everything that was important. And I don't know what it is about that. I guess maybe it's the idea that wherever she is now, anything that was left unfinished or unsaid is no longer important. Because my mom always made sure you knew that she loved you. Like, she was one of those people that even if you were fighting, like, you would not end on a sour note. Like, she'd never hang up the phone without saying, I love you. She'd never let you leave her house without a hug and a kiss goodbye. Like, there's no doubt. Like, of all the things in this life that I have doubt about, my mom's love is not one of them. Like, there was just no question. And that dream, though, I guess it kind of felt like she was telling me to pull my head out of my ass. Like, she was saying, like, you can't wallow. You can't spend every single day either losing yourself in a video game so you don't have to think about it, or, you know, mourning someone. You have to mourn people. And, like, the thing about it is I'm aware that this is going to take a really long time to get used to. It gets easier every day, which in and of itself also feels like a betrayal because, you know, how dare I feel good on any day that my mom is not alive. But it's like, I don't know, it's almost like I had her permission to, like, move forward a bit and, like, not destroy everything that I worked for years to build. And everything that, honestly, that we've worked toward building. It's a nice thing we've got going. And it would be a real shame, I think, to lose any of that. So I came back. And I've probably had the best month that I've had in a really long time. And I want to be the kind of woman that my mom was. I want to be the kind of person that, you know, if life gives you lemons, you really do make lemonade. Or maybe like a lemon cranberry cake or something. I didn't know if I would come back. I didn't know if I still had any stories to tell. Everything felt like there was no color and no light in the world. It's kind of funny to sit and think about the fact that my mom passed away at like 10 p.m. on December 31st, 2023. So people were ringing in the new year, celebrating, having their New Year's kisses, while I was driving home from the hospital after having said goodbye to my mom. And there were just fireworks everywhere. It's like I was having the most devastating moment of my life so far. And there were fireworks. And for a split second, I was annoyed because, of course, you know, when you're miserable, sometimes other people's expressions of joy can be grating. But it felt, I don't know, it felt proper. It felt like a good send-off for a woman who meant so much to me. And my mom loved fireworks, so, like, it was perfect. So, I'm still sad. I'm still depressed. Sometimes. I'm still navigating what a world without my mother in it looks like. What a world without either of my parents in it looks like. But I don't have any doubt anymore about making audios. About life in general. It is worth living, even if it fucking sucks. Even if it's so painful and so irritating and so stressful. And I've been very, very lucky to have people stick it out with me. I don't know why you did, but I am grateful. I wouldn't have been surprised if I had woken up one morning and everyone had unfollowed me from everywhere, canceled every subscription. You know, I couldn't have blamed you. It's not that I don't think people give a shit. It's, I just know it can't always be easy to stick with a creator who's, even if you know they're going through something, but stick with somebody who's maybe not handling things so well. And I did not handle any of this very well. I don't know what the future looks like. I don't know what it holds. But I do know that I plan to be around for it. And I just want to try some new types of audios and just do whatever the hell I want. And I don't really, to be honest with you, I don't really give a shit if it's like successful on the outside. I mean, have I ever really? Like, I just want to have fun. Life is really so fucking short. And if I'm not having fun to the best of my ability, if I'm not being creative, if I'm not laughing, I won't make it. So I'll just do all of those things. And I'm really lucky to have everybody who's listening to this with me for the ride. I couldn't, quite literally, couldn't do it without you. And there are people who I've let down. And there are people who reached out to me, sending messages and getting absolutely nothing in return, but like still sending messages, just being really kind, sending a poem, saying a few words, just a, you know, just a, I hope you're doing okay, miss your content, but no pressure, kind of like just really nice messages. And then lately I've gotten a few also from people talking about how much comfort they found in some of the things that I made. And I don't know, I guess I realized that I do have a reason to keep creating. Because I do have fun. I do love this as a job. Like, it's the best job I've ever had. Because it doesn't feel like a job. It just feels like fun all the time. And that's really, really difficult. That is a privilege right there. So I guess I just really want to say thank you for sticking with me. You didn't have to, but you did. And if you're new here, I mean, welcome to whatever mess this is. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just really lucky to have you guys, really lucky to have this as a job. I miss my mom every day. But I know she would want me to get back out there and say some truly debauched things on the internet. She got a kick out of it. I always told her, like, what was going on, what kind of comments I got. Like, she loved hearing stories about this gig. But, yeah. I'm sorry that I disappeared. I am. I don't intend to do that again. I'm going to be making audios until I'm a little old lady and no one listens to me anymore. But until that happens, you know where to find me. Okay, I think that's it. I think we survived. Let me just scroll through my notes to make sure I didn't miss too much. Dun, 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 dun. I wrote out some notes for this because I tend to get distracted, in case you couldn't tell. But I didn't even look at the notes while I was babbling. Ah, yes, here are my notes about the ending. You'll like this, I'm sure. Grief is an ocean, and I'm still adrift. But I have to say thank you to the people who threw me a lifeline while I was out there drowning. I'm pulling myself back in, and I'm looking forward to making the most out of this year. My mom lived her life to the absolute fullest, and I'm aiming to do exactly the same. Whatever hard thing you're going through right now, you're going to get through it. You're stronger than you can even imagine. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and we'll share some laughter and tears along the way. If you listened this far, thank you, and I love you. Hold my hand, and we'll find our way together. I hope you have an amazing day. And I'll see you on Sunday for more audios. It's good to be back.